guys. What's up? It's me, your host, ASMR. ASMR? No, dangerous ASMR. Damn it! I remember who I am. Let's start this again. I'm definitely not going to cut this out. Everyone better not mock me. I swear I'm going to tell my mommy. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, ASMR? Dangerous ASMR, that is. And we're back with another, what else, obvious, if it wasn't obvious with the first introduction right there, it has to be at this point. It's another Drunk and Dangerous. Congratulations, genius. Yes, I acted like an idiot because I am very high. I had a cocktail with some THC-infused orange juice and grapefruit vodka, and it was exceptionally good. And this, what you see here, the woman who forgets her own name after doing this channel for like 2 fucking years, it was that good, that kind of good. The kind of good that this month calls for, don't you think? The one where you forget who you are and where you are for just a moment. You feel that peace as if maybe you don't have to hear about all this political bullshit for another forever. But no, you won't. You wake up and realize this is where you are and it just doesn't ever fucking stop, except here, on this channel where I don't want to fucking talk about it today. And I'm sure you're tired of hearing about it as well, because fuck the shit. Not getting discussed anymore. So, I'm drinking a rosé from a box, like the wine aunt I told you all I am becoming and have become. And you know what? It is a fine rosé for a shitty ass day. Am I right? 2020, everybody. Cheers. And by fine rosé, I mean anything alcoholic. Literally anything. Toilet wine? Bring it to me. I'm here for it. Is it helping me forget? Give it to me. I'll give it a try. Give you a pill on the bathroom floor. I'm not at that level where you're like in a public bathroom and you find a random pill and you're like, why not? I'm not at that level of sadness yet. Getting there. One update at a time. Okay. We are back to forget our worries, to forget our woes, which I'm very happy for. Although my woes are just beginning. For you, you're going to get to listen to me suffer. Because we're back with more of the worst rated creepypastas. Now, let me take a moment to just thank the authors who I am roasting their works in this audio today. I will refrain from using their names to spare the innocent. And thank them in the moment for their wonderful gestures of creativity and the joy they could bring us all through our mocking of them. Okay. The next worst-rated story on our list is called The Blue Meteor. Ooh, I'm excited. This one has been given a grand 3.20 out of 10. It was a clear night in a small community near San Francisco, California, when a mysterious blue light was seen by several residents as it fell from the sky. The next morning, a none too bright man, come on. You can't say stupid? This is what happens when your parents raise you to be too politically correct. You're like, hey, what would you describe him? He's a none too bright man. Oh, so you're stupid. You're as stupid as he is. A none too bright man? Really? Okay, who's the none too bright man here, I ask. We all need to ask. In his early 20s. Are you sure it's his none too 30s? A none too bright man in his not yet 30s. Went to check out the field where the strange blue object landed and found a small crater. A shiny blue stone about the size and shape of a football lay in the center of the shallow crater, and the curious local, a high school dropout who still lived with his single mother. I mean, maybe they're banging, you know. Don't count that out. He has some backwoods stuff going on. I've seen Jerry Springer, and we know that's a documentary. It's all true. Who had never married or been in a committed relationship for more than a week. Wow, are you slut-shaming her? Maybe she's mentally ill. I don't know. Maybe she's just... She stabs them all. I have no idea. Don't shame her. Maybe she's got problems. He's a none too bright man. She's probably none too bright either. Leave her alone. She can't keep a man. And you know it's gotta be bad. Because like Honey Boo Boo's mom still has men. And she's like a meth head now. She was probably still a meth head. But now it's like famous that she's a meth head. It's crazy. She can find a man and keep a man. Several men. Sure, they're pedophiles, but they're still there. You know? Maybe her standards were too high. Maybe she lived in the trailer park and was like 98% pedos. And she's like, no, I have a child to raise. As soon as she sees them being creepy, she's like, get out of here. And so she's being a good protective mom. And they're like, what a loser. Can't keep a man. But that's because, like, she's in trailer park pedo central. I don't know. Don't judge this person. Maybe she's a horrible bitch. You don't know. I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, she's raised a none too bright man, so you never know. He thought the stone might be worth some money. To his surprise, the space rock suddenly split open and released a slimy, shiny black goo. Rather than leaving immediately, Antonio Monza, who was like far too many of San Francisco's residents. Wow! Wait till you hear how he thinks of far too many of San Francisco's residents. So let's just hear this as a fucking call out for the whole goddamn city. Ready to hear this roast San Francisco? Far too many. Antonio Manza, who was like far too many of San Francisco's residents. Barely literate, unskilled, and yet another typical product of the San Francisco public school system got closer. That's a horrible... You're a product of the San Francisco school system? Is this what this whole thing's about? Is this your scathing tribute to the San Francisco public school system? Are you what came out of it? Is this your best story you've got? Is this how you graduated? You're like, my scathing retribution on the fucking school system is this sentence. I want to read it once more because I don't know if I'm just high as fuck and I know it's not contributing to my understanding of this beautiful gem of a story that when it splits open is full of black goo. But let's read the sentence from the beginning. And I'll only stop when it's over. Rather than leaving immediately, Antonio Monza, who was like far too many of San Francisco's residents, barely literate, unskilled, and yet another typical product of the San Francisco public school system, got closer. That is a horrible sentence. That is one sentence with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 commas. It's not really... Okay. Oh, I'm gonna assume this is written by Antonio Monza. From now on, this is a first person for this guy. He got closer. He should have run when the meteorite cracked open. The gooey black thing that came out of the blue stone was actually a parasitic symbiote. Oh, thanks for telling us. Thanks, buddy. I'm so glad I didn't have to figure that out myself. Whew. Gosh, guys. I mean, I assume he's writing it for me, who's very stoned, so I don't have to guess through his bad writing, which I appreciate. But I assume the regular reader goes, why? It suddenly latched on Antonio's left arm and crawled under his shirt, just like the damn San Francisco welfare system, am I right? It released a toxin that made its new host forget what just happened as it entered his body through a small cut on his shoulder, and Antonio wandered back home in a drunken stupor just as he would on most other days when he didn't have enough drugs in his system to make a bull elephant hallucinate for a week. What a long sentence you have, Antonio, along with as many drugs as you have, like most of San Francisco's residents always hopped up on narcos. And thus Antonio became patient zero. The parasitic pandemic that would change the world forever would start with him. And this break is starting with me. I'm taking my intermission. Oh my God. I hope that there is some more hatred coming up for San Francisco here. Because honestly, that's the best thing about this story of thus far. Because I have a feeling there's nothing that we're going to have to interpret in this story. Nothing will be left unanswered. It's just going to be told to us what's happening. And then they'll show us. But first they'll spoil it all by telling us, which is fantastic. Don't try to show me what it is. Just tell me it's a symbiote, what it's doing. Please just tell me how it ends now. Little did he know that he would die 4 days later. And then it's like, but currently, it just tells you everything leading up to his death. All right, let's, oh, wait. I want to drink my box rosé. It's just okay. But that's good for 2020, so. A week later, in a small town in Alabama, Jay, it literally just says Jay. I know I have a patron called Jay. Jay, this can or cannot be you if you're listening to this. You probably aren't, but if you are. This is you, Jay. I hope you don't die. Look, lucky you. You're now in a drunken dangerous forever. First patron, I think. No, wait. Net was the first patron, wasn't he? Did we mention? If I haven't mentioned you first and I forgot that I mentioned you, my apologies. But Jay is being mentioned as a character in a drunken dangerous. Who thought? I didn't, but Jay was fishing in a small stream when a clumsy man bumped into him and fell over. Jay helped the man to his feet and thought nothing of it as the man left. He wondered if the guy was drunk. Little did Jay know what was to come. That night, he was unusually hungry and ate 4 times as much as would normally be a feast for him at the buffet he went to. What buffet do you normally go to? Like, I gotta be honest, it's gotta be a Chinese buffet or you're doing something wrong. The Chinese buffets are always the superior ones. Like, if it's not a buffet at, like, Vegas, it's the Chinese buffets are always the best. Fucking fight me. Golden Corral's trash. No offense if you like it. I'm sure it's great. But, like, there's too many kids. I want the Chinese buffet with their weird random seafood medleys that they got for, like, $2 off the back of a truck. Gimme, gimme. It's so good, right? As long as there's egg rolls and, like, those fried donuts. I don't give a shit. I'm a true American. That's how you can tell. Okay, let's see what's going to happen with Jay. Anyway, Jay ate 4 times the amount of shrimp he normally would at the Chinese buffet, and he was like, damn. Jay had never eaten that much at one meal, and he was known for his big appetite. Typical Jay. After a deep and peaceful night's sleep, Jay was shocked to find that he was wearing a thick, rubbery black bodysuit. At least you're shocked to find that you're wearing it. It does not imply that you normally wear a thick black bodysuit, a rubbery flannel. Perhaps you're into latex play. I don't know, Jay. Who knows? I'm not saying any of this is true as a legal warning. None of this is true. This is all said in jest. Jay, the patron, is completely unwilling participant in all of my statements, which are said in a joking manner. Jay has neither approved nor agrees with any of the statements that his character may or may not be doing in this story, which is absolutely not based on him, but which is humorous to imagine is based on him. Now, you can't sue me, right? Okay, don't sue me, because I'm poor. So, stop. Don't do it. Stop, drop, and roll. Only you can prevent Dangerous's channel from sinking like the Titanic. She's too poor and stupid to attempt to defend herself in a lawsuit. So Jay's in a thick, rubbery black bodysuit. Oopsie-doo. He was like, what? Normally my victims are the ones waking up like this. No, not you, the character. You hear me. Is this like a ripoff of Venom? Because this is honestly sounding like a ripoff of Venom. Did this person just rip off the movie? Like, this is pathetic. Okay, well, let's keep reading this ripoff. The strange, stretchy suit covered everything except for Jay's ears, face, and the thick, shaggy brown hair on Jay's head. Is it Jay? Who knew? It looked just like a full body set of bulging black muscles with a big white spider on the chest. What the fuck? You can't just steal somebody else's franchise. What the fuck? You even said it had a spider on the chest? You didn't even try, bitch. You didn't even try. That is pathetic. You didn't even try. You might as well just say he's called Venom and he fights Spider-Man. Like, ho, why don't you just say Eddie Brock? Like, what? It had a big white spider on the chest. I'm sorry. How little creativity do you have at this? You're not even acknowledging that it's based on the story. You're just like trying to steal it. And not even acknowledging that you're just ripping the story, but doing a terrible job. Sorry. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to hear me rant, but holy fuckity fuck. I wouldn't run someone over. But like, in my fantasies, sometimes it's like GTA and I'm going, you know, they're not people, they're NPCs, and I'll set them on fire, you know. That was better, way better than running them over, was setting them on fire. If you disagree, you're wrong. Setting the people on fire in Grand Theft Auto, the best. Watching them burn, the best. That does not help my case. I forgot where I was. Not violent. Let's continue. It felt like soft rubber and was as close-fitting as a diver's wetsuit and rather clingy. Ooh, it feels sexy. Ooh, let's say it again in a sexy voice. It felt like soft rubber and was as close-fitting as a diver's wetsuit and rather clingy. Jay was not wearing this last night. Jay could still move normally despite the heavy suit's great weight and somehow felt strangely stronger. What the hell is this? No way I'm infringing on a copyrighted note. No way I'm going out in public with this thing on me. But this outfit that resembled the Venom creature from Marvel Comics, without the gruesome head, terrible teeth. You can't say it's just like this, except I changed it slightly. This isn't China. That's not how copyright law works in the United States. You can't do that. You can't say, like, it's just like Marvel trademarked Venom character, but without the head. Okay. Without the gruesome head, terrible teeth, or blood. Maybe Marvel was the one that gave him, like, the three and was like, no. Bad. Without the gruesome head, terrible teeth, or bloodlust, was still destined to be a fashion nightmare. What? In other ways, a fashion nightmare, you say. Jay felt around for some kind of opening or seam on the suit's back, since there wasn't one on the front. But there was none! Oh my god! Whatever it was made of was super stretchy, however. It's made of a symbiote, you told us. So maybe he could get out of it through the neck opening, which was the only opening. When Jay pulled on the body-hugging suit's neck area, he got a disturbing surprise when it actively pulled back and resisted him. I mean, I could just watch the movie if I want to know what happens, so. The suit suddenly felt like a super sticky glue trap as it deliberately clung to every inch of Jay's body with an impossibly strong, gooey grip. The more Jay struggled, the more it stuck to him. The effectively glued-on black muscle suit was alive. Jay tried to cut it with a razor-sharp hunting knife. That's not sexy. But the fearsome blade only made a tiny scrape on the rubbery muscle goo suits. Hold on, I'm having a hard time saying this. It only made a tiny scrape on the rubbery muscle goo suit surface. Rubbery muscle goo suit surface. Rubbery muscle goo suit. A muscle goo suit. It's rubbery muscle hyphen goo suit. A rubbery muscle goo suit. Who named you? On the rubbery muscle goo suit surface that healed almost instantly. That was just the beginning of Jay's sticky problem.
Ah, senpai.
A loud burst of thunder made Jay jump as he was contemplating his gooey and very muscular wardrobe malfunction.
Ah.
When Jay saw that he was clinging to the ceiling like a big insect, he realized he had spider powers. Good job, Jay. Figured it out. Ooh, good thing that you've been concentrating. Two large, veiny, and gross-looking lumps had now formed on Jay's wrists. These proved to be organic web shooters, like Marvel Spider-Man, perhaps? But it was Jay, not Peter Parker, so it's not theft of your trademarked story. Though formed by the suit, the web shooters were connected to Jay's blood supply as if they were his own organs, like his kidneys or his liver. Are those organs? Thanks, Doctor. And their main mass was embedded in each of Jay's arms, among his arm muscles, which are located in the arms, in case you didn't know, because they didn't say arms often enough. It was clear that this situation was permanent. Really? You can't just rip that shit out of his muscles after it's been embedded? No way, Doctor. Thank God he didn't just try to rip it out of his fucking DNA. Oh, wow. I bet that would have been his first option. Is he going to do home surgery? What? It was permanent. It wasn't just a temporary DNA change. This is going to be a huge issue, Jay thought. He is a very thoughtful man. He's correct, too. He could feel other, even freakier changes taking place. He's into scat now. My lawyer says not the real Jay. The Jay in this story. Jay's stomach rumbled. He was hungry for some more shit. I'm joking. He was strangely hungry again. Not for feces. He jumped down from the ceiling and began to prepare his breakfast in spite of what was happening to him. Jay had 50 pounds of fish in his freezer because he was a giant cat from multiple successful fishing trips. Only after frying and baking and then eating it all in one sitting did he realize he'd eaten all of it. So, wait. You're basically saying only after eating it all in one sitting did he realize he'd eaten it all in one sitting. Why do you have to tell us the only after frying and baking and eating it all in one sitting did he realize he'd eaten all of it? Well, no shit. No shit, he had to do the other things. It was only after getting up in the morning and showering, brushing his teeth, opening the fridge, getting the fish out, defrosting it, cooking it, frying it, baking and eating it did he realize he'd eaten it. Yeah, no shit. No, Shawetta started at his birth. My God, yes. He finished it and was like, my God, I ate it all. I'm a fat pig. 50 pounds? How condensed is this fish? Is it like a fucking black hole of fish? Is it black hole tuna? Is it a new kind that's been found? So it's a normal fillet, but it's 50 pounds? Because I have a hard time believing that you chew your way through 20 pounds of fish and don't realize you've eaten like a fuck ton. How much is Jay, no offense, Jay, the person, I'm talking to Jay, the character. I assume you don't eat what is a mammoth amount of fish every day. Holy fuck, your mercury levels must be off the charts, my dude. 50 pounds, though. Like, a fish fillet. Let's say it's a really big one is, what, half a pound? A pound, maybe? 50 fish fillets? He didn't realize till number 50 that he ate it all. That's a bullshit excuse. What the fuck? It's like somebody kills 20 people and was like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it got this bad. Bitch, please. You realized by number 3, and you were like, nah, fuck it. Fucking 50 pounds of fish. Sick son of a bitch, you have a problem. It's called an eating disorder, Jay. Seek help, please. 50 pounds? Where'd you put it, though? Are you bulimic? What's going on? Is that a superpower? Okay. He also drank many gallons of water. Okay, I'm calling bullshit now. You didn't do this. I'm sorry. This is a fishtail. Why is this happening? It must be this blasted suit. Is the suit shitting, is my question. It ate 50 pounds of fish. Where's it going? Like, where's the shit go? Oh, is he eating it? It's his thing now, isn't it? Oh, God. Where did this thing come from? As these thoughts raced through his mind, Jay could swear he felt his bones dissolving and turning into muscle. No, that's not physically possible. And he hoped his hopelessly non-removable suit was growing like an erection.
I need to get to the doctor.
However, he could not stop himself from falling asleep after his massive meal. What? You can't stop yourself from falling asleep. You feel your bones dissolving. But you're so tired from eating 50 pounds of fish, you fall asleep. Jay. I gotta tell you. You got some problems. You're eating 50 pounds of fish in a sitting. And fine, okay, so your suit is eating it, whatever. You fell asleep, not the suit. You did. Your bones were dissolving, man. Priorities. I know eating a big meal makes you sleepy. It makes me sleepy, too. But I'm telling you, if I felt my bones dissolving, I'm calling 911. I'm not just not going to the doctor. I'm calling an ambulance. Please call an ambulance. I know a big symbiotic suit is scary. Call a doctor. But fine. Jay slept through a rainy and stormy day and woke up 12 hours later. Really, Jay? Once a mere 140 pounds and 5'3", he was now 250 pounds of muscle. Just muscle, apparently, not bones. He doesn't have those anymore. And 18 inches taller. But his forever stuck-on-living muscle suit weighed 500 pounds. Jay effectively weighed, in case you can't do math, 750 pounds with the unsettling way in which the accursed thing was now bonded to him. Yes, the symbiote had merged with the flesh on a molecular level, and every cell in his body was now half symbiote. Even his DNA was half symbiote. Really? Really? Bonded on a molecular level, and even his DNA, you don't say. It was impossible to tell where Jay ended and the symbiote he was literally stuck with began. Do they just, are they padding this? We get it. Shut the fuck up about it. We fucking get it. They're mixed together like two types of Play-Doh. Forever you have red and white. You forever have pink now. You can't have one without the other. Shut the fuck up about it. Jesus. Jay. Oh my God. Somehow Jay knew this instinctively. To top it all off, his bones were gone. Replaced by muscle, which was abundantly clear when he reached for a light switch 20 feet away and saw that he now had super stretch powers in addition to the spider powers and organic web shooters and super webs. Jay's now excellent vision meant his glasses were no longer a necessity. His once brown eyes were now glowing green ones. He would never need a flashlight or lantern again because he could see everything in the dark without one. No surprises there, unfortunately. At least I don't need glasses anymore, he said to himself. Jay knew he also now... Why? How did he... Okay. Immense super strength and vulnerability and regeneration abilities. He could lift blah, blah, blah. Stop jacking yourself off. 1,000-ton boulder with... We all know what Spider-Man can do. Like, you're not impressing me. This isn't stuff we don't know because you used a character we've all heard of before. blah, blah. Okay, I'm honestly just skipping past their descriptions of Spider-Man's power since we know who Spider-Man is. We all know what he can do. Anyway, he can do what Spider-Man can, but he was now the parasite, completely dependent on the symbiote to support his body now that he didn't have bones. Beautiful. Jay could harden, soften, and expand at will. I've heard of other things that can do that. And withstand fire, ice, and extreme heat and cold as well. Okay, not that part. I'm a superpowered freak of nature, and to add insult to injury, I look like one and I know it. This is a nightmare. Do you have to narrate everything you think, pal? Just like me? What are you, a drunk and dangerous? No, you aren't. Get out of here. That nightmare had one last freaky permanent surprise for him. Is it a giant dick? That's what I'm thinking, because it's freaky. Jay suddenly felt a weird squirming sensation in his armpits. Within seconds, the symbiote suit formed a second pair of arms under Jay's own black-clad and now mega-muscular arms. He sounds like a toy, like an action figure. Though made entirely of symbiote muscle goo, my favorite word, they looked just like his own suit-covered arms. Inside Jay, black goo nerves. Goo hyphen nerves, they're goo nerves. Black goo nerves. Embedded in his flesh, connected these symbiote arms to his brain so he could feel and control them. Since they had organic web shooters like the ones embedded in Jay's own arms, this meant twice as much super webbing. In shock and not sure what to do, Jay turned on his TV, which he hadn't watched in several days. Really, bitch, you don't ever do anything of note or worth. You just fall asleep after eating 50 pounds of meat, and then you watch TV. I feel like if I got superpowers, regardless of whether they were symbiotic or not, falling asleep after eating a bunch and watching TV aren't the first things I would do. Maybe I'm wrong. And that's why I'd be experimented on and would suddenly disappear and no one hear me again. When Jay turned on his TV, he saw reports coming in on every channel that were all about one headline, grabbing subject. That big headline, of course, was an unstoppable new nationwide outbreak that started a week ago. It was traced back to the blue rock from a space that had fallen to the earth in a field near San Francisco. Are you just recounting the movie for me? I haven't seen it, but thousands of people across America were infected with black symbiotes, just like the one poor Jay was now trapped in for life. Doctors' offices were inundated with patients facing the same very sticky suit situation Jay was in, and there was no cure or treatment to stop it. Containing its spread was impossible, since its ability to hide inside the cells of its host made it undetectable until it formed the inescapable black super spider suit. At this rate, everyone would soon all have one of these slimy, stretchy, and indestructible body-hugging permanent glue traps forever stuck on them. Everyone would be forced to be dependent on the parasites to walk and perform basic mundane tasks once their bones turned into muscles, and at the same time would gain the same superpowers Jay now had, whether they wanted them or not. At least Jay wouldn't be alone or too humiliated to be seen in public. Why hide if everyone is affected? Wow, it's kind of selfish of you, Jay. Being merged with a symbiote that weighs twice as much as he does was still no laughing matter for Jay. Inside the very thick and heavy thing. Felt like an M&M, right? You're like a peanut M&M inside that heavy shell. Yeah, you were. But you were delicious. Crunch. Inside the very thick and everything, it felt like and was being stuck up to his earlobes in a rubbery living tar pit that will never let go. The powers, superwebs, bonelessness. I'm honestly picturing boneless buffalo wings. Am I the only one? Spicy venom boneless buffalo wings. Like, would be boneless. And whole body Hulk-like physique with these monstrous giant symbiote muscles everywhere and the mega strength to match that came with them would be a major life adjustment. No fucking shit. Like, of goddamn course that's a life adjustment. What? Jay would never get used to the freaky feeling of the shiny black organism attached to him and stuck on him like rubbery superglue, or being literally stuck in a lifelong host-parasite relationship where he was the dependent parasite. But he had no choice. Under the big, heavy, living muscle suit, his own cells and DNA were half-symbiote. He had pure symbiote cells coursing through his bloodstream and living inside his red blood cells. Those slimy muscle goo extra arms had wire-like goo nerves. Why the goo extending through the flesh and organs of his torso and rooted in his brain? Jay and his new big body-hugging black friend. Are y'all fucking? As he sarcastically put it, we're literally inseparable in the most disgusting way possible. They fucking? Y'all fucking? Oh, man. Half the time, he'd wake up the next day in a big super spider web he would produce in his sleep instead of his bed. The most disturbing part was that being stuck in this gooey, stretchy, super sticky, glue rubber living tar pit body trap. Oh my god! Could you have more adjectives? What the fuck? I'm sorry, I want to say that again. Gooey, stretchy, super sticky, glue rubber living tar pit body trap. The most disturbing part was the being stuck in this gooey, stretchy, super sticky, glue rubber living tar pit body trap. Felt strangely pleasant. And you liked it. Oh, I bet you do. I bet it sucks your dick. This was perhaps just as well, however, since Jay's bizarre condition was a life sentence. Liking it did not mean he'd ever get used to the weird, sticky, glue rubber feeling. Or anything else about this. No one knew how they spread so quickly. In 10 days, half of the American population was affected and trapped for life in mega-muscular black symbiotes that completely covered them up to their chins and earlobes, like Jay. Amazingly, civilization had not collapsed like Jay and many others initially thought this might cause it to. Society continued to function almost as if everyone was simply ignoring what had already happened to at least 50% of the people in every state in the mainland USA, with many also affected in Alaska and Hawaii. That's a long sentence. Jay was dumbfounded, but at the same time glad America hadn't gone down the tubes. Though California, seceding from the Union to become its own country the day before the symbiotes were first noticed in it and a few other states, wasn't doing that former state any favors. Dude, you have such an issue with California. Like, do y'all just talk it out already? Fuck. I get it. You want a divorce from California. Like, listen to this next thing. The Democratic Republic of California, or DRC, was facing several severe crises that had nothing to do with the symbiote outbreak, and many of its wiser residents were now former residents living in their neighboring states to avoid giving up their status as U.S. citizens. Those still in the DRC were facing food shortages, drought, rampant crime, including a murder rate 10 times that of the worst state that was still part of the USA, a failing economy, and various struggling social programs that were doing more harm than good, provoking increasingly violent protests that had already caused major destruction and dozens of deaths in several cities. For some reason, few people were symbiote infected in the DRC, and no reports of unclassified biology-altering parasites, or UBAPs as the media call them, had come from any other country. Jay was still adjusting to his new symbiote-struck life. The next 3 days saw the rest of the U.S. population get forced into rediscovering life as arachno-suitors, as those afflicted with the symbiotes were now called. I do not believe anyone would call it that. You might think it sounds cool, but nobody would call you an arachno-suitor. That is not roll off the tongue, and people are too lazy to say that. Reports of UBAPs also began to rapidly increase in the DRC. The riots in the DRC began to become less violent. It only took 21 days for the outbreak to infect the whole USA. Only 3 weeks. America was literally muscle-bound, which now meant being stuck in... Is this somebody's fetish? which now I'm being stuck in several hundred pounds of slimy symbiote goo muscles. Stop with the goo that merges its DNA with yours against your will. This is absolutely this person's fetish. And sticks to you like your worst combined glue, rubber, and fashion nightmare. Why do you talk about fashion? No one gives a fuck. If you are stuck with a, 500-pound symbiotic parasite on you at all times, if your first thought is, oh, fashion nightmare, your priorities are wrong. You are like Mr. Katrina, what's in the fridge in the middle of a hurricane. Oh my God, fashion nightmare. As a permanent living tar pit you wear that forces you to be the boneless parasite that depends on it. We fucking get it, you told us. Oh my God. 6 feet and 630 muscular pounds is now average adult size. Okay, fetish. Let's keep going to your fetish. This is absolutely a fetish. Let's keep hearing it. So at 6 feet, 9 inches, and 790 pounds with his extra muscular symbiote, Jay was now considerably taller than average and one of the heaviest and strongest ones. Yeah, Daddy Symbiote. You teach those naughty humans. His powerful symbiote had really muscled out for some reason. It went through puberty. Gained the additional 40 pounds and it formed the extra arms. Everyone had the extra arms, regardless of his or her muscular new size, though. Jay had been richly rewarded for finding a missing diamond wedding ring and returning it to the couple it belonged to 3 days after being infected and suited up by the symbiote and gave most of his reward money. Okay, are you now making up things that you did so you can be praised? Because it sounds like you're humble bragging about shit that didn't happen. Go off, I guess. He gave most of his reward money. I guess it, came out of nowhere, though. You're not like a friend telling me a story. It's just out of nowhere in a story that has nothing to do with you giving money to charity. He gave most of his reward money to a charity that helped Christian refugees escape unspeakable and horrific persecution in war-torn countries. Many of these people had been rescued with his donation, and Jay's feeder insects business was thriving. Jay was able to use the money he earned from selling feeder insects to go diving for tasty lionfish and other prized underwater game. With his symbiote, he didn't need... This is his guy's daydream. A wetsuit, fins, or dive mask for seeing underwater and could stay where the fish he hunted were for much longer. Jay's symbiote formed an organic dive mask and organic fins when he dove. Okay, he's fucking... This guy's fantasizing. Am I wrong? This is fantasy. I feel like this is 12-year-old me writing, my dream fantasy Mary Sue character. And enabled him to stay underwater for hours at a time without scuba gear by storing oxygen, which released into his bloodstream while he was underwater. Wow, it sounds like a fantasy come true. On day 22, all the news outlets ran with a new headline. A clue to the origins of this bizarre epidemic had been found on the blue space rock that brought the first symbiote to Earth. On the inside wall of the hollow blue stone was a mysterious set of symbols that could not have been created by human hands. How do you know? How? People can do crazy shit. I do not believe they couldn't have been created by human hands. Shockingly, the symbols were all ancient Hebrew letters. Those Hebrew letters formed words and the message was clear. Be grateful for this gift. It is both warning and blessing. Use it wisely. Know who I am and remember my laws. Okay, well, it became Jesus-y all of a sudden. Under this message was a line of golden Hebrew letters that spelled out the unmistakable name, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Hebrew name for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, dear God. It stole from multiple sources, both Spider-Man and the Bible. That night, Jay and millions of other people across America had vivid dreams and visions about the symbiotes, providing a path for humanity to make the world a much better place and bring about the Age of Enlightenment. Oh my God! And about the rapture. This story is so much better than I thought, you guys. It's Spider-Man Jesus! It's Spider-Man Jesus! I love it! Guys, Spider-Man Jesus! J stands for Jesus. bring about rapture, tribulation, and great white throne judgment. Yeah. This is a weird-ass fucking fantasy, man. This is like somebody's grandparents were like, let's try to make something the kids will enjoy that teaches them about Jesus. And they make this weird shit, and you're like, what is this crap? Like, don't worry, we have Venom at home, and it's this. That's what this is. This is Venom at home. It's about Jesus. Oh my god, I need to get a little more high. I'm toking right now because of this story, because of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the pledge you have given us so we may tolerate the terrible stories created by your peoples. Some of the dreams were beautiful and others were horrifying. Everyone who had these visions and dreams saw and experienced all of the same things in their sleep. Jay and all the other random symbiote-fused random Americans... Oh, they're double random. They were double randomized American test. Who had this experience were moved and compelled to tell those who didn't have visions what they saw at the night. Did they write a second Bible? I hope they did. The message and warning these dreams carried seemed to be that it was either the symbiotes or the end of days. Oh my god. Oh my god, it's Jesus-y. Why? I'm so not here for this. I wanted to get away from bullshit, and this is a Jesus creepypasta? I thought it was just a copyright infringement pasta. Dude, you slipped a Jesus in there. Come on. I feel like it's something my grandma would do. Like, you think you're reading a comic, and then you're like, no, it's a chick tract. And it's about Bible, and it's terrible. Okay, the message and warning these dreams carried was either the end of days, and that many would have been left behind after the rapture to endure the tribulation, and thus the worst 7 years in history. With 100-pound blood-red hailstones mixed with fire raining from the sky. Rivers and lakes turning into deadly poisonous blood. Unimaginable horrors at the hands of the demon beast. And a foul plague worse than any currently known illness on all those who chose to take the evil shape-shifting beast mark. This vile disease had horrifying symptoms. Fever and madness, gut-wrenching, stabbing, stomach pain, bloody vomiting and diarrhea. Ugh. Black and green necrotic lesions, unbearably painful festering boils and sores filled with oozing, reeking, disease-spreading green and yellow pus that attracted flies and fat-wriggling, flesh-brewing maggots with horrific hook-like mandibles. Is all one sentence. God help us. A frequent infestation with lice, ticks, and flesh-eating worms and revolting black leashes that can kill it absolutely. Repulsive matter, which are some of the ghastly symptoms of this awful disease. Oh my god. Okay, I'll pray for Jesus. Stop. The symbiotes were a bizarre and stern wake-up call to a wayward nation that had been headed down a terrible path. Freaky and disgusting as they were far better. Oh my god. They were far better than what would soon come if America and the rest of the world continued on its appalling and hopelessly depressing current path of continued freedom and rights for all peoples. Ugh, horrible. These life-upturning organisms had saved the country rather than destroying it. No, you're basically saying Hitler would have been great because he would have set that country right. You realize you're basically a dictator's wet dream, right? Cool, okay, glad. As long as you admit that you want to give away all of your rights to an alien being. Jay smiled as he watched an uplifting report about how people were actually heeding the message of the visions from the night before. Social disaster the last 2 decades had turned the USA and, by extension, the rest of the world into was finally changing for the better. Yeah, he hates civil rights. Ooh, gay marriage. Ooh, women outside the household. They got out of the kitchen. No more slavery. This isn't fair. He wanted his wife slave and his person slave, and now he has neither. Now everyone's a slave, and he's happy.
If I can't have a slave, no one can. Me, me, me.
Little dickbag. Now he's a slave. Dick. Finally, Jay shouted. At last. At long, long last. Oh my God, he's so happy for his slavery. It's about freaking time people started caring. I was afraid I'd have to endure the agony of spending the rest of my life helplessly watching the world slowly die in front of me. I'm only in my mid-30s, but until 2 weeks ago, are you in your mid-30s, Jay? You don't strike me as that old, but maybe. Thank God, but the state of this planet made me feel like I was in my mid-90s. Thank God himself that nightmare is over. Oh my God. This thing, I'm stuck and infused with this.
You have to yell this for everyone to hear. Like, we're just trying to get on with our lives.
This thing, I'm stuck and infused with this. No picnic, but being symbiote stuck for the life is better than living out. Oh my. He needs to be on the side corner of a street with a fucking cardboard sign. Like, waving it. It's better than living out the rest of my life on a planet that's completely intolerable would have been if this never happened and the end times didn't come. Jay's neighbor agreed. The fact that there's no quote makes me think Jay's neighbor didn't agree. No new big stories broke on any of the news stations for the rest of day 23, but after sunset, multiple football-sized and shaped glowing blue meteors identical to the first symbiote-containing stone were seen and reported by witnesses falling from the sky. Around the world, just like America, each and every country on Earth received one glowing blue meteorite. The end. What a horrible, garbage, bullshit, proselytizing trash story. 0 out of 10. Also, it kind of makes it seem like, you know, they're saying what religion is a parasite. I'm not understanding what they're trying to say. I'm not understanding if they're trying to be ironic in the sense of like, oh, look, believing in religion is a parasitic thing. And it's an invasion of your brain. And therefore, it's abnormal. Or if you're trying to say, actually, literally, as it is written. And the writing is so poor that I don't think the person who wrote it is intelligent enough to understand that using religion as a metaphor for being a parasite that infects your brain and therefore not a good thing, it kind of reads that instead this is like this guy's fantasy. That he really does wish there were parasites that would force people to do what he wants. And that's not do whatever social progress. Like, I hope it was written realizing that it's like, you know, it's an illness of the mind, but I don't think he's intelligent enough to understand that. And that's kind of where my concern comes. So let's try something else. Oh, it's an old poem. This one's called Grame. Grame. G-R-A-M-E. It has a 3.31. This is an old poem that kids used to sing during the Middle Ages. Its source is still unknown. Let's see, it's 3.31. Source. I can speak, stawdammit. It's Storcity Stew. I have to get real high after that last one, man. It was Jesus Spider-Man. I didn't see that coming. Jesus Spider-Man, and then it became some kind of weird social diatribe, and it's like, what is this? You can't even think of your own way to push Jesus? You have to use venom to push Jesus? Really? Like, that is the least original thing I've ever heard. My God, it's terrible. Okay, this is a poem. If you see a great tall man, don't worry. He is a friend. Don't ask him what is his name. For he will be your friend. That is bad advice. If you have other good friends, don't worry, they won't matter. You are all that is greater. Not them he shall befriend. Hey, man. Maybe you should befriend everyone. Why you gotta put other people down and feel good about yourself? We can all be up there together. Shit, calm down. Check your ego. You see him teeter on land. He never drinks from daddy's juice. What is daddy's juice? Is it like Jesus juice? You see him teeter on land. He never drinks from daddy's juice. What is daddy's juice? I feel like you don't drink from a glass when you're drinking daddy's juice, but maybe I'm just sick in the mind. You see him teeter on land. He never drinks from daddy's juice. You see him all to great joyce. He is so really grand. So do you think their idea was just write the shittiest poem ever and be like, it was from the Middle Ages, you guys. You have to like it. Don't ask about the hat that sits on his bald head. He won't ever tell Yath why it is as soft as lead. So he's got a hat on his head that's super hard? Why would you wear a metal hat? That sounds so uncomfortable. You see him at the starshine. You won't at the skylight. Always you see at night, but mostly at the moonshine. Okay, that's a filler sentence if I've ever heard one. You ask him what his name. He doesn't say a yelp. He asks you for a kind help. After that, you will get same. Apparently, their English ability really degraded after the beginning. I don't know why. I'm guessing they're also getting high as they wrote this. He asks you a small favor. Kill your mom and so your dad. Okay, no. 13-year-old who made this up. This is not from the Middle Ages. Shut your mouth. But must give me favor. Never tell about your lad. If you peace your family, you will hear what you waited. Through his mouth you will rally words long asked and awaited. Okay, you waited and awaited. He will now say this soon. My name is really Graham. And I am fame. You know, I'm the moon. He will say he needs you, for he is not so done. You need to stop none. He is not finished with you. That's fucking awful. Who the fuck is Graham, and why would I kill my parents for him? His name is Graham. His name is Graham. Is that because you wanted to say fame and you didn't know what rhymed with it? So you're like, just say Graham. It's the only thing I can think of that rhymes with fame. Holy shit, that was awful. Okay. Let's see the last one I'm going to read tonight. I don't mean to, like, make fun of you, but that story was absolute dog shit. So let's finish with hopefully better. Run across the desert. Wow, that's a creative name. Gets a 3.3 out of 10. A man stands in the desert. His skin is big, bright white. Big, bright white. Brighter than normal. A sharp sort of glowing white, like lit up cellophane. This is not a man. Is he like a wacky, waving, inflatable, arm-flailing tube man? He's not a human being if he's white like cellophane. This is the past to his present, and he is not human. Oh, so he is the wacky, waving, inflatable, arm-flailing tube man. Across many sand dunes, a line of camels, spelled with two M's, walk slowly towards the sun. They are burdened down by packs and dark-skinned riders. Wow, do we need to know about that? These men have porous skin that sweats. Yes, like humans do. We all have skin with pores that sweat, alien being. What are you describing, a person you've heard of in like a textbook? They have porous skin that sweats. Yes, that's humans. And long black whiskery beards and dark eyes. And they are human. There are women with them. Hidden. Perhaps less than human. Perhaps more.
Like, I don't understand. Are they trying to describe it? Or are they like aliens describing this? Because it's weird as fuck.
The man is waiting for them. And although he could quickly traverse the distance, he does not feel like going to meet the dark-skinned men. He is resigned to wait for them here. A line of footprints travels directly across his path. The shadows in them crystallize. Edges crumbling. Punched into the smooth dune. Ragged, dark, dark, ragged black holes.
It really says that. Ragged, dark, dark, ragged black holes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I really need to say that normally because I think the stupidity of it is lost when I act stupid.
Punched into the smooth dune. Ragged, dark, dark, ragged black holes. It travels the width of the desert in a perfectly straight path. The Arab men reach him. Why do you keep mentioning their race and their color? We understand who the men are. Their kamals. Yes, there's two A's now. Spit and flip their lips at the stranger. The men stare, and one of them jumps off his camel with two M's and an E. I'm confused now and feel like they're two different animals because those are very closely placed and spelled entirely differently with two very different spelling mistakes. Are they different creatures? One will never know. He is a young boy, the son of the leader. He runs up to the stranger, stares at him, long in the face.
What are these?
The stranger points. It is a crudge gesture. Crude with a G? It's a crudge gesture with a crooked knuckle pointing down at the sand. The line of... Oh, shit, what is this ad doing? It's stopping me. No, come here, move. Okay. It's a crudge gesture. With a crooked knuckle pointing down at the sand, the line of footprints stretches atrociously out into infinity, punching holes in the desert's smooth skin. Abomination. This isn't poetry class. The young man looks at them and opens his mouth.
There, bad omen. You are not from here. Who are you?
Explain. The young man's mind churns chaotically. It has been a long time since he's come into contact with men, and the stranger who looks like a man but is not finds it unpleasant and sickening to sort these random thoughts. Gives a sense of vertigo, but the story is there.
I have never seen someone run like that, across the desert, in a straight line. She ran as if something worse than hell were following her, but nothing was, only the night. And in the Sahara, night is freezing cold. Anyone in their right mind would pitch a camp, try to sleep, but still she kept running. She had no camp. She had no pack, no weapon, no water skin that I saw. I thought she was desert spirit. I thought I was going mad, that my eyes were making things up.
A hallucination.
A what?
Never mind.
The Arab shook his head, and he explains now, half in words and half in thoughts. Why? The white-skinned stranger, why? Can hear both. And it is slightly more appealing to let the boy speak rather than force him to think. How she ran, it was horrible. To look on her face like a ghost. I thought for sure she was desert spirit. You just said that. For sure. I thought I'd see her only once that day she came staggering out of the sands and ran alongside our caravan until the heat of the noonday sun. When we stopped for water, she went right on running. I thought,
desert spirit, not a nice one.
Evil witch, her clothes all black, made of cloth in foreign lands, a woman wearing men's clothes, whore. What the hell? The night came, and I did not dream, and I thought in the morning, forget her. You will not see her. Liar, I dreamed many dreams. Always thinking to himself, God hates those who lie, but he cannot know what I dreamed, for I sinned so bad. Then one night, 3 weeks later, our caravan took a shortcut through the desert. It seems she did not know about the shortcut and went the long way, straightway because we saw her footprints. They cut like a knife across the sand dunes. They could a straight line. I thought, impossible. And then there she was, running, out ahead of us. Our camels with two A's this time. We're walking slow. We did not want to rush them. My father said to send someone to catch up with her. Go out and get her. Bring her back. No one in their right minds runs through the sand like that, he said. It was then that I know he see her too, the desert spirit. So either my father and I are both crazy, or she is really there and she carry no water skin. She has not drank any water since 3 weeks ago. Impossible, not good. Okay, why are you repeating yourself? I went to my father and said, no, do not go get her, because I had very bad feeling about this. I tell my father that what I saw 3 weeks ago. At first, he does not believe me. But I tell him more, and finally he acknowledges there is something wrong. Maybe we should not send a rider to go get the floundering girl. And now he's thinking. And I watch her weave and stagger, but still somehow her feet fall straight, and she is cutting a line through our desert, only slower and slower. I want her to die. I want the heat of the sun to burn her up so I don't see her in my dreams anymore. And now he's speaking. So we leave her there. Slowly our caravan passes her. She's running slower and slower, you see. Like she were growing tired. My camel, spelled normally, finally pass her. I see her face. There is dread, only dread. And in the pit of my stomach, there is so much fear. I do not want to know what she is running from. I want only to see her go far away. Never come near me or my father or my family again.
You said nothing followed her?
No, nothing. Thinking, only the night.
Did she speak?
No. The young man is lying. In his memory, the stranger hears the last forsaken cry as the girl falls down. A screech and then a scream, so tortured and sad that even he, at his many, many eons of age, damn he old, is tempted to try and actively forget it. It is, of course, impossible for him to forget the human Arab boy has the luxury of spending his short life in this sand-whipped place, pushing that memory away and away and away. The stranger with his white skin. There's other ways to describe people. Wonders coolly what it would feel like to envy him. You see, I know when there is a curse. To touch her, help her, or even look at her was cursed. Now the Arab boy is pleading, trying to explain, as though leaving her was a crime. So the caravan walked past her, and last thing I see is she finally falls. And there's a little dark hump where her shoulders are. When the camels walk too far and I cannot see her anymore, I breathed happy sigh of relief and went on.
Okay.
And that is all the stranger says. He makes a gesture. The boy runs back to his camel. He says several words to his father. The caravan moves on. The stranger looks out over the line in the sand. It is disheartening to be human and know how big the desert is. He can sense, that's what they mean when they say ignorance is bliss, because if you know how big the desert is, you can never be truly happy. It's a fact, don't look it up. He can sense some of this, though he does not share a mortal sense, a fatal tragedy, but it's spelled, enjoy this, T-R-A-D-G-E-T-Y, tragedy. In the footsteps, there is some kind of morbid taint. Like you're eating death's asshole, right? A shadow of darkness or glowing particle that he can trace. A radioactive signature or a curse. Either one. Neither phrase in English can... He's trying to spell adequately. It's A-D-E-Q-U-A-T-L-Y. Adequately. Describe or explain what is going on. The stranger sighs. Altera, what have you done? Where have you gone? The footsteps do not answer and stare back their malevolence at him. Somewhere, unbeknownst to him, and forgotten by the Arab men, an ash-white girl in black wool clothing hides under the shadow of a rock, frothing and foaming. Her eyes are black and blood is dried about the rims of them. She has held this trace for 28 hours, or rather, been held in it, and there seems no returning, no end to the catatonic, I think they want to say miasma, but it just says misma of eternity, spinning endlessly around her head. It is giddy and dismal,
And she waits. That is terrible. It doesn't make shit for sense. It wasn't scary. You tried too hard to sound smart and you used a bunch of words you clearly don't know. You don't know how to spell them. Okay. 0 out of 10. Another terrible story. I had a blast. I hope you guys had a good time too. And I hope you come back next time. I will talk to you then. I love you guys and I hope you have an amazing week. Bye. Mwah.